Chapter 10. Everyone's afraid of their own life. Timothy Latimer hunkered in the opposite corner. The smoke had essentially emptied out the building, but if he stayed low, it didn't bother him. Also, it meant that no one noticed him. Well, except for Miss Buffy, who'd looked him straight in the eye when she'd come back in, screaming about fire and her dress in tatters. Almost everyone out, not enough time. There's that kid again, what's his name, Jim or something? Is he one of them? Get him after I get John and Martha. Timothy would have been more surprised about hearing her voice inside his head at that moment, but then again, for the past few days, a watch had been talking to him about Time Lords and traveling through time and space. Consequently, his tolerance for the new and strange was quite a bit higher than it had been 24 hours prior. Despite that, even he wasn't quite prepared for the scene unfolding in front of him. In just a few seconds, Buffy had thrown Mr. Clark across the room and sliced apart two of the scarecrows with a knife that appeared far too long to have been concealed from where she'd removed it. But now the other maid, Jenny, who was part of this family of blood that was chasing John Smith, who was actually the Time Lord called the Doctor, had pulled out some kind of pistol and grabbed Martha as she tried to run by. Baines tried to pull his pistol out. Buffy threw a chair that hit him in the head. "I've always wanted to do this." "Enough!" shouted the little girl. She too had a gun, this one pointing at Buffy, who dropped the chair she'd been wielding. "Father mine, are you recovered?" Mr. Clark's body had risen and was rubbing his head. "So I have, daughter mine. I think we gave you the wrong body. Imagine what you could have done with such power." He came and stood next to her. "Would you still like it?"
"Nobody, and I mean nobody, gets to take over my body," shouted Buffy. "I never know what you're going to do with it."
She cheated for a moment and looked over at John, who seemed completely paralyzed by shock. Another pair of scarecrows went to grab him, and she brandished her knife, setting herself between them.
"And nobody gets to touch his body if I haven't gotten to do it first."
Jenny shoved Martha hard, and she fell down to her knees. Behind her, she heard the weapon charge.
"Choosing your lover over your friend, are you?" asked Jenny, in a sick parody of her old teases.
"No."
Buffy's knife lowered a fraction of an inch.
"You don't get to have either of them."
Baines, having gotten back to his feet, was sniffing again.
"Got a cold or something? I could fix that with a quick decapitation."
Baines ignored her and moved forward, so Buffy went on guard, but he stopped short.
"Your friend, he's human. The Time Lord is elsewhere, and it's the Time Lord we want."
Baines raised his gun towards John.
"Where is he?"
John shook his head.
I don't know what you're talking about. What do you mean, Time Lord?"
Baines frowned and pointed the gun at Buffy's head instead.
"Tell us where the Time Lord is, and you can keep this idiot, and you can even have the maid."
"No!" shouted Martha, lurching forward, but Jenny stepped on her spine, pressing her to the ground.
Buffy shook her head.
"I've done this way too many times to fall for that. You never take the bad guy's deal when he's pointing a gun at you and your friends. This is the first sign that they're offering you a bad deal."
She held the knife up by the handle. Point down.
"What's going to happen is that you're either going to go away in peace, or else I'm going to kill you all."
She smiled and tossed her hair.
"Now, I'm a big fan of the first option, because it means fewer broken nails on my part. But make no mistake, me and my friends are getting out of here. The only question is whether or not you do."
The watch showed Tim the next several seconds before they happened. Buffy was going to flick her wrist, and the knife would pin Bane's foot to the floor. She'd managed to incapacitate him, but would not be able to stop Jenny from shooting Martha. Jenny wouldn't survive much longer, but John Smith would be seized by the scarecrows, while either Mr. Clark or the little girl would finally get a kill shot on Buffy. There were just too many enemies, and too many people for Buffy to protect. The words, "Don't let them die," echoed in his head. He didn't have time to think. All he had was that terrible other voice in his mind telling him what to do. And there was nothing else he could think of, so Tim squashed down his terror and opened the watch.
All the family members snapped their heads toward him, as did Buffy. Her eyes widened, and Tim snapped the watch shut and ran into the back parlor. Baines moved to go after him, but Buffy pulled Baines' arm around his back, grabbed his gun, and held it to his head. "Now listen. I'm still willing to go the route where some of you survive." She lifted his arm up, just a few inches more, and Baines shouted in pain. "But I'm really not, if you guys do not let Martha up now." Jenny looked up at Baines, who nodded. Jenny lifted her foot, and Martha got to her feet. "Martha, you get behind me. Take John and follow that kid, Tim. I'll be right with you." "Buffy, what's going on?" asked John. She turned back. He looked so lost. "I'm sorry, John. I told you I wasn't a lady. Run!" He finally let Martha pull him out the door, leaving Buffy alone with the family. "So, you're a bunch of life-sucking aliens." "And you're an impertinent little girl," said Mr. Clark, "who is going to suffer for her lack of respect." Buffy stepped back toward the wall. "What exactly have you done to earn my respect?" Then she threw Baines at the family. With them safely on the ground, she grabbed the lamp off the wall and threw it at the scarecrows, who went up in flames like sacks of hay. "I really didn't want to set this place on fire," murmured Buffy. Then she dashed through the door, slammed it shut, and stuck a chair under the handle. Tim was trying to pull a window open, while John was trying to get answers out of Martha. Neither was having much luck. "Let me." Buffy pulled Tim backwards and easily slid the window open. He went to jump out of it, but Buffy stopped him. "Watch first." He eyed her. "Do you know what it is?" "Fire, ice, and rage." Buffy knelt down, ignoring the pounding on the other side of the door, putting her hands on Tim's shoulders. "Do you know what I am?" "No, and neither does the doctor." Tim was shivering with fear. Martha and John had stopped arguing and watched Buffy. "I'm the Slayer. I'm the boogeyman that boogeymen tell their boogie kids about." The banging on the door was starting to get worse, and new smoke was seeping through the cracks. "I'm probably the only thing here half as scary as what's in that watch, and I swear to you, I'm going to keep you and the watch safe, okay?" Tim nodded and handed the silver fob watch over to Buffy. She patted his head. "Now, out the window." He started to climb out, and Buffy stood, turning the watch over in her hand. "What are you two waiting for?" "An explanation," said John. Martha stared at her. "Open the watch." Buffy tucked it in her bodice. "Not yet. The building is now actually on fire. So first we run." She motioned with her hand. "Out!" Martha glared daggers at Buffy, then jumped out. Puppy Dog Eyes was next. "Buffy, just... please." "John," sighed Buffy. She went to him and kissed him lightly on the cheek. Another loud pounding at the door startled him. When he looked back down, he realized that Buffy was close to tears. In a throaty voice, she told him, "There's going to be explanations, and you're not going to like me so much after. So right now, please, just hold my hand and run with me." He nodded, and together they climbed out into the dark. Chapter 11, The Dark Center of the Universe. By flickering firelight, the group made their way to the barn. Buffy felt John's grip tighten as the TARDIS came into view. "Buffy," he gasped. Her lips thinned. "I know, John. Come on." Martha had unlocked the doors, and she was shoving Tim in front of her. Buffy tugged on his arm one more time, and John followed her inside. Martha shut and locked the doors behind them. "Can we please open the watch now?" Her eyes bugged open even wider as Buffy went to the console. "What are you doing?" "I don't really know," shouted Buffy. Her hands, meanwhile, were dancing over the controls.
My head is killing me. My thoughts are starting to burn, but there are images. I can see them. The family will be right behind us, and they have some kind of technology. Please, don't try to explain it to me, she interjected, looking up into the air. That can penetrate through the TARDIS's shields, so I just need to buy us some time. As Buffy and Martha argued, John and Timothy explored the console room. I know this place, the blue box that's bigger on the inside, murmured John. I've dreamed it. This is your home, replied Tim. I've seen you here. The watch showed me. Martha blinked. The watch? It's talking to you, like it spoke to Tim? Buffy shrugged, not stopping her manipulations. All Slayers are minor psychics. It's what lets us have the Slayer dreams. Tim has some sort of low-level Buffy grunted in pain. Please, don't tell me anything. God, it hurts. Martha touched Buffy's arm. What hurts? Buffy's eyes opened, bloodshot. Tim can shut off the flow. I can't. Slayers are open receivers. I don't have any off switch, and the doctor didn't know what I was. I'm listening to him figure out all of this in my head. He's telling me how to fly the TARDIS. I can see all of his thoughts and memories, and he's just... Her eyes lost focus. I can't even explain. It's too much, don't you understand? Martha watched Buffy compress a pump and then flip a final switch. The TARDIS trembled with motion. Tim stood behind her. He's like the night and the storm in the heart of the sun. Buffy nodded, falling back into the captain's chair. He's ancient and forever. He burns at the center of time and he can see the turn of the universe. Yes, said Buffy, but he's also beautiful and a hero, and everything you ever told me he was. Her gaze settled unhappily on John, who was standing terrifyingly still. After we land, we have to open the watch again. But what's wrong with that? Asked Martha. If the doctor lives, I die, responded John in a low voice. Martha's mouth opened slightly as she considered it from his perspective, for the very first time. Her heart broke a little as Buffy whispered, I told you that you were going to hate me once I explained. I'm sorry, John. I'm so sorry. John's eyes never left Buffy's, his voice rough. But what if we don't open the watch? I can't move us across time, or even off the planet. It's too dangerous. I can't go near their ship. I can't stop them. Buffy pulled the offending article out, but still held it to her chest. They'll find us, and they'll leave a wake of destruction and horror behind them. We can't let them do that. John approached her. No, before that. What happens if we don't open the watch? He knelt beside her and wiped the sweat from her brow with his handkerchief. Buffy couldn't meet his eyes any longer. I'm stronger than you or even he could ever understand. John shook his head. I know, Buffy, but you don't look so very strong right now. I'm not usually sick like this, John, I swear. You're not sick. He took her hand, holding the watch between them. This isn't about me, Buffy insisted. How long? He demanded. Buffy cringed and admitted, not long. Martha caught her breath. It's killing you. The thoughts of a Time Lord in a human brain, they're killing you. As long as he's in the watch, oh my! I don't hate you, John whispered. He looked back at Martha. Is there any way... His voice trailed off, and Martha understood the request. I'll show Tim the kitchens. John smiled at her, but it didn't reach his eyes. Thank you, Martha. Martha took Tim by the hand, and they disappeared down the hallway, leaving John and Buffy alone. Buffy looked down at their linked hands, the watch cold and hard within. We could try... I could see if getting distance between me and the watch would sever the link. Then who would guard it? John got up onto one of the captain's chairs beside her and gathered her in his arms. Can you work this thing without it? Who's going to stop those monsters? Me? Martha? Tim? Maybe the headmaster? I know. They held each other for just a short time before the TARDIS settled to rest. Buffy bit her lip.
This isn't fair.
Oh, I'm well aware. But I'm not a hero. This doctor fellow, he's a hero. You're a hero. John rubbed a tendril of her hair between his fingers. You deserve a hero. I knew you were doomed, John, this whole time, so I wouldn't let myself love you. Buffy pulled him closer. But you are a hero, and I do love you. They kissed, and the kiss contained a lifetime. John paused for breath, murmured, I love you, in the shell of her ear, then went back to her mouth for more. After a few more precious seconds, John pressed the button, and the watch sprang open against his palm. Chapter 12. It's hard to remember to live before you die. It took the doctor a bit less than a millisecond to realize that he was back inside a body. He stretched the time to give himself a chance to assess his situation, and discovered that he was in two bodies, both physically and metaphysically. Stray thoughts of his were still steadily frying the girl's synapses, Buffy's synapses, and his tongue was still snarled with hers in the warm enclosure of her mouth. Skeins of their thoughts intersected, and she gasped. With a sigh, he finished the kiss, but continued to hold her close. She must have trusted him, because there was no way to force this girl to do anything that she didn't want to, at least not physically. Doctor? He caught his breath as his second heart finished regrowing and began to beat again. Yes? A stray thought brushed against his retreating ones. She'd been 17, and there'd been a man. No, a vampire. And she just saved the world with a kiss and a betrayal then, too. You didn't betray anyone. He cringed as he saw the anguish in her eyes. Sorry, I didn't mean to intrude. No, it's fine. It's good to know. She pressed those feather-soft lips together. John? It was both a question and a plea. The doctor tapped a finger to his temple. Safe inside. And me? We appear to be fully disentangled. Buffy's eyes flickered down. Mentally, that is. You just look like you might need a hug. He held her a bit tighter, and for a fleeting second, she felt just as relaxed as she was when they'd been John's arms around her. He liked that feeling. When he released her to stand, he kept their hands joined around the watch. Are you... tired, that's all. She pulled her hand away and massaged her temples. The doctor stared down at her, his gob, for once, failing to run at all. Well, I have a thing. There was a distant rumble from outside the TARDIS. That would be the family, then. So predictable. Lose me and then threaten to bomb the town. Well, I guess that means that I'm predictable, too. Anyway, I'm just going to nip out for a second. Shouldn't take too long. You, he stammered, you should stay here. Get some rest. Quick, Kip. Right, I'm going. He skipped off towards the door, then turned as he opened it. And if Martha comes out, tell her... Oh, never mind. That's something I'll have to do myself. Buffy could barely hear his last words. Just stay safe. About 5 minutes later, she'd processed that he'd gone. She eased herself out of the chair, looking around the TARDIS, all of the images from the watch, from his mind, swirling through her head. Buffy stepped back, grabbing onto the railing for support. He'd taken the watch with him. He had a plan, didn't he? Quite a plan. Martha and Tim emerged from the back hall. They must have gone off. I swear I heard the door shut, said Martha, looking towards them, then catching sight of Buffy out of the corner of her eye. Oh, he left you behind. Had to. Aubertide allergy. Tim approached her. So that's it then. The doctor's back. And John Smith is gone, finished Buffy. Several beats of silence passed before Martha brought herself to look Buffy in the eye. Buffy, I'm... But Buffy had gone pale. What is it? I know what he's going to do. Buffy's shoulders snapped back. Martha, can I borrow your coat? Martha was shrugging it off her shoulders before she was quite sure what she was doing.
Sure, why?
Buffy pulled the coat around herself. I need to go. I'm sorry, no time to explain. Can you get Tim back to the school?
Certainly.
Get back there and lock the school up tight. Take a knife and watch out for the scarecrows. They shouldn't bother them, but just in case. Stay there, make sure it's safe, and I'll come find you in the morning. Buffy ran to the doors. I'm sorry for sending you back there, but I need to stop him, and someone needs to protect the school.
I can do that, Martha said with a nod.
Buffy smiled sadly. I know you can. She looked down. Thank you, Tim. Stay safe.
I will.
Buffy ran off into the night. Martha sighed, biting her lower lip.
She still sounds a bit like him, remarked Tim.
Yeah, I know. The family's ship wasn't too far from where the TARDIS had reappeared, and Buffy held her breath as long as she could while approaching the clearing. The explosion made Cooper's Field a lot more exciting than the last time Buffy had seen it. The doctor worked quick. Heat from the blast created a low-pressure zone that the chilled night air rushed to fill, helping to disperse the aubertide more quickly, allowing her to breathe freely. Buffy shook her head at the voice in her mind that informed her of these facts, wondering exactly how much of himself the doctor had left behind. But she put the thought aside, squashing down her twinge of nausea from the remaining aubertide as she strode forward to put a stop to the one thought he'd left that had troubled her the most.
"Give me the gun, Doctor!"
Her voice rang out clear across the clearing, the doctor standing over the huddled family only a few dozen paces away, the portrait of a wrathful god framed by flames.
"You hate guns."
He twisted toward her voice, the laser still trained on the villains.
"You don't like them either."
He turned back to the family.
"You're the doctor. I'm the slayer. The gun fits in my world better than yours."
She planted her feet in front of him, looking up to his face, and the fire behind him reflected in her green eyes.
"I know what you're going to do. The chains, the mirrors, the black hole, even the scarecrows. But it's not eternal justice. It's eternal vengeance. So give me the gun, Doctor."
His eyes narrowed.
"Why?"
"I'm the Slayer. I'm another kind of law. I don't see eternity. I see endings. I'm here to stop you because this has to end." She held out her hand. "You know me now better than I know myself. Do you trust me?" Wordlessly, the doctor placed the laser in her hand. She spun about. "You, the mother. How much time do you have left? 2 weeks? 3? Jenny's heavy-lidded eyes turned up towards her.
3.
"What would you do in those 3 weeks?"
Buffy's aim shifted towards Baines's body.
"Tell me."
The son stammered. I don't know.
"You killed my friend for the promise of eternal life, and you can't come up with anything to do with 3 weeks?" shouted Buffy.
"Spend it with my family," cried the doubter.
Buffy's eyes softened as she regarded the youngest victim, and she nodded. "Good answer." Now she turned to the father. "You're all in this together. You've spent 2 months killing. How would you spend 3 weeks living?"
"We'd bask in the light of our sun, Agon, on the shores of the Perilian River."
Buffy smiled. "Of course you would. You're mayflies." Her lips thinned. "Murderers don't get peaceful retirements." She glanced back at the doctor. "Do you know a place?" She could barely make out his reply over the noise of the fires.
"I do."
He went and stood beside her. "The ruins of the Kanamara mines. It's dark. It's cold. They'll live."
"And they'll die. That's how it works."
She motioned with the laser, and the family slowly made it to their feet.
"That's mercy."
Following the captives back to the TARDIS, right before they entered, the doctor squeezed Buffy's hand. His heart skipped a double beat when she squeezed back. Chapter 13. I've got this thing that I consider my only art. The sun had risen, and Buffy and the doctor weren't back yet. Martha looked down at Tim, whose sleeping head rested on her shoulder. Her slight movement prompted him to snap back to alertness, raising the shovel that had been slipping out of his fingers. No worries. There aren't any scarecrows at the gates, she reassured him. Tim sank back against the wall. Oh, good. There had been scarecrows on the road back to the school. The knife prescribed by Buffy saw good use when Martha used it to slash apart one that had tried to strangle Tim. She eyed the marks on his neck. They would fade in time, impermanent, the welts already devoid of any sign that something extraordinary had acted as the ligature. Only she and Tim would know. Still, she pulled his scarf over them. It wasn't like he could explain them away as razor burn at his age. But he'd shown courage and resolve beyond his years, staying here with her in the courtyard. Together they watched the gates long after the headmaster returned, stating that the brigands who'd burned down the community hall had obviously fled into the moors. The townspeople would dismiss those who claimed to have seen scarecrows walking around as a student prank, or the panicking imaginings of people fleeing from the community hall fire. If there was one thing she'd learned from her travels with the doctor, it was that anything could be explained away like that. It also meant that the headmaster would be expecting breakfast promptly, rejecting her excuses as the irrational fears of a foolish woman from an inferior stock. Martha sighed as she stood. She'd been hoping the doctor would arrive in time to save her from one last breakfast service. Then she shook her head. She'd been wishing for the doctor to come save her a little too often lately. It was time for her to start taking matters into her own hands again. This didn't mean that she said no when Tim offered to help her out in the kitchen. It was important to accept help when you needed it. And with neither Buffy nor Jenny liable to show up for work ever again, she could use an extra willing set of hands. So Tim stirred the vat of porridge while she set the table in the dining hall. When she returned, he asked, "So, are you going to keep traveling with the doctor?" "I don't know." She set a rack of bread slices over the fire to toast. "I enjoy the exploration, but I don't know if it's making me a better person." Tim tilted his head. "But you do such great things. You saved my life. You've saved lots of people's lives." "You know so much about me. You should know that in my home, I'm studying to be a doctor myself." She waited a few more beats, then flipped the toast. "There's plenty of lives to save doing that." "Oh." Tim rocked from side to side. "Right." Martha regarded him honestly. "At home, I hardly ever ask for help from anyone. I'm the one who raises my hand first and gives the answer. Sometimes I'm wrong, but I always try to figure it out on my own. I'm smart, and I'm good at fixing things. But with the doctor, he has the answer first. I never know enough, and he knows so much. I've been traveling with him for close to 6 months now, and it's changed me." She pulled the toast off the fire. "I wait for him to give me the answer first." "So would I. That mind." And Tim's eyes widened while he shook his head. "Well, he's seen everything, and I really wouldn't want to do anything wrong in front of him." Martha took the spoon out of his hand and ladled some of the porridge into a bowl for the headmaster. "That's the problem," she frowned. "He didn't show you anything inappropriate, did he?" The slow blush that crept across Tim's face told her everything. "I'll have to wrap his knuckles for that," she announced, turning to hide her smirk and the bottle she pulled out of her apron. She mixed a small amount of its contents into the bowl, then corked the bottle and slid it back into her pocket. Martha turned back to Tim and leaned forward. "See anything he'd rather me not know?" He grinned. "He wears some funny clothes sometimes. If I were you, I'd ask him about the celery." Martha raised her eyebrows. "Celery?" Tim nodded deeply. "As clothes?" He raised his hands in the air, shrugging. Martha laughed. "Well, if that's what it takes." She finished the trays with a pair of teapots. "I'll have to start faculty service now, but if you watch things until I get back, I'll cover your escape so that the other boys don't know you've been doing servants' work. Can I take some biscuits?" Martha balanced a tray on either hip. "Take whatever you like, just don't let the place burn down." She was almost to the door when he cleared his throat. "Martha?" "Yes, Tim?" She wasn't sure why she felt the need to brace herself as she turned back. "The doctor, he showed me a lot of things, and I saw a lot of his memories. A lot of them were things about the future. I used to dream about the war, but now I know it's coming." Her mouth dropped open as her breath came out of her. He shook his head and raised a hand toward her. "Oh, no, it's not like that. Don't worry about me. He let me know that I'm going to survive. It's just..." And now he looked down. "You mean an awful lot to him. Not like, you know, kissing or, inappropriate things." Martha nodded. "More like he counts on you to know the answer sometimes when he doesn't. So you should keep exploring with him. He's not ready for you to go yet." Martha bit her lip. "It will be different with Buffy around. He won't need me the same way." She didn't expect Tim to laugh at this. "Buffy? I think she needs more answers than he does." He reached backwards, towards the baking sheets to grab a ginger snap. "And the inappropriate things that the doctor thought about, well, they weren't hardly anything compared to what she was thinking."
"I don't want to know, do I?"
Martha couldn't resist smiling.
"Probably not," replied Tim, with a grin full of crumbs. Martha finally started the breakfast service and received the exact tongue-lashing she'd expected from the headmaster. After 2 months, she'd figured out how things worked around here, and some people, like the headmaster, were never going to change. One last time, she tolerated more insults to her character, intellect, and heritage than she cared to ever hear again. With a curtsy and a, "Yes, sir," she left his rooms, continuing on to deliver the other tray to the matron's office. Matron Redfern, bent over a patient, didn't acknowledge her. All the same, Martha left with a lighter spirit, and apron, than when she'd entered.
"Thank you, Martha," said Joan Redfern, removing the stethoscope from her ears a few seconds too late to catch the maid. Martha was such a flighty young thing, she never remembered to knock. Joan turned to the shelves, then blinked. Those boys were aging her prematurely. She simply didn't remember getting out the castor oil that morning. Chapter 14. Everyone's life ends, but no one ever completes it. The Connemara mines were as dark and cold as the doctor promised. Buffy dutifully hauled a barrel of water out of the TARDIS, while the silent family carried bundles of food to their final resting place. She didn't look back, because if she did, she wasn't going to be able to stop herself from taking bloody revenge on that monster wearing her friend Jenny's face. Not to mention the little girl one. But this wasn't a Slayer problem. This was a doctor problem, and Buffy was doing the right thing. If he couldn't have his cold-served revenge, neither could she. So she sat on the bench, and the doctor handed the father a lantern with one final nod. Buffy even clamped her snark down when the father said thank you as the door shut. Enough was enough. As the doctor turned towards her, she jumped to her feet and announced, "Wasn't that fun?" He cocked an eyebrow at her. "Fun?" he repeated. "Oh, yeah. Danger, violence, fires and explosions, and in the end we all learned a valuable lesson." "And what, pray tell, was that?" Buffy bobbed her head. "Procrastination is bad." The doctor pursed his lips. "Right." He headed toward the console, and Buffy followed him. "Hear me out. You procrastinated about dealing with the family. I did not." Buffy held up her hands. "I'm not saying I blame you. I didn't want to deal with them either. Anyway, you put off dealing with them. They hadn't done anything wrong yet. They had evil genius laughs. Plus, they shot at you." The doctor glared at her, then moved around to the other side of the console. "You procrastinated, so Martha got stuck playing serving girl to the wannabe clan brats for 2 months." The doctor picked up his mallet, whacked it against the controls,
then pointed it at Buffy. Okay, but if we hadn't shown up, who exactly was coming along to rescue you from a long life of inglorious servitude? Fair enough, Buffy straightened her back. Do you think that little girl was going to be pretty when she grew up? The mallet lowered. Below the belt, muttered the doctor. I know. You thought it first. Buffy approached him cautiously, but she wasn't very surprised when he reached out and grabbed her, hugging her close. He leaned down, burying his head in her hair, long breaths tickling the skin of her neck. We can't save them all. No. Revenge is never going to be as good as being there in time. It's not. Procrastination is bad. The doctor looked her in the eyes and rested his forehead against hers. Procrastination is bad, he murmured, letting his eyelids drift downwards. It's always going to be like this, isn't it? Like what? Difficult, maddening, embarrassing. A faint chance of being ultimately rewarding. He pulled away and his eyes opened. Beyond the pain and exhaustion, she saw real mirth dancing in them. You spent 15 minutes inside my brain. What do you think? How much do you remember? She raised a hand to her temple. Quite a bit. There were some, interesting speeches. And outfits. Your quipping is excellent. Buffy kept her expression straight. Wait, how much do you remember? Not as much as you, probably, she replied, arching just one eyebrow. He allowed himself one quick peek. You know my name! It's not like I can pronounce it, she deflected. He was smiling again, relaxed. She missed his smiles. Not that it made this any easier, but procrastination was bad. Buffy backed away, leaning against the console. You said John was safe inside. That means he's part of you, right? Yes. But you're not him. His expression tightened. I can be everything he was, but no, I'm not him. I loved him. Buffy looked down, fingers brushing against buttons and switches. He was sweet and brave, and he thought I was pretty. You are pretty. She saw his hand move to touch her, reassure her in some way, but the doctor controlled the impulse. He rocked backwards on his heels. I understand. I'd like it if you came with me, with Martha and me. If you traveled with us, you make me happy, less lonely, and maybe even a little more insane, and you're one of the few people who can appreciate that statement. He drew another breath, looking past her. And you know my name. But that means, well, you know other things. Everything. And now he did tuck his fingers under her chin, pushing her face up. If it's too much, if you hate me for that, or for taking John away, or I can take it back. You don't have to remember. He drew his hand away. What? It would kill me, but it would be better than you hating me. Buffy grabbed his wrists and saw the shock in his eyes. Ow! I told you that I'm strong, and you're an idiot. What? You've read my thoughts. So tell me, when are these hordes of women who know about all the skeletons in your interdimensionally transcendent closet, but love you all the same, gonna start pounding down the doors? Or am I still the only one? The doctor blinked. Just you. Good. She released his wrists, and he rubbed them. It's not going to be easy. I won't say that I'm the world's easiest date, or that I have the best taste in men.
Date?
She eased off the console, taking his lapels in her hands. That's right. Eventually. We're taking baby steps here. I know it's been a while for you. She'd seen a long, dry spell in his dating history. He wasn't panicking or pulling away. Either he was reacting better than she'd expected, or he'd proceeded directly to shock. It was her turn to tilt his chin towards her. I'm going to look at you sometimes and miss him, and I just wanted to say right now that I'm sorry if it makes you jealous, but I won't apologize for the feeling. He nodded. Okay. Now the hardest part. Buffy dove straight in. I'm human. I come with an expiration stamp. Even worse, I'm a slayer. Procrastination is bad.
Procrastination is bad, he repeated.
She got on her tiptoes and brushed her lips against his. Now you've got it. Buffy sighed as he pulled her back for a deeper kiss. He really was good at this part. Later, they would not procrastinate on the two dimensions problem, because while she liked him, she did miss her sister and her friends. Even before that, when they landed in a few minutes, she was going to have to figure out how to explain all of this to Martha. And maybe, because she was a really nice person, Martha wouldn't mind and Buffy wouldn't be an evil, crush-poaching, bad friend. His fingers ran up her spine. She was a bad person, who did not deserve wonderful tingles from Time Lord caresses. Bad Buffy. Naughty Doctor. Nice tingles. Oh, to hell with it. She'd had a really long night. She let her hand cup the curve of his bottom. This never would be easy, but damned if it wasn't going to be good. Chapter 15. The Motions and the Things That You Say. The doctor opened the TARDIS doors and found Martha and Tim standing in the clearing, playing catch with a cricket ball. Martha kept her eye on the ball and didn't turn. About time you got here. You'd think a Time Lord would be more punctual, wouldn't you, Tim? The boy just rolled his eyes. What, and ruin your fun? How'd you know we'd land back here? Martha shook her head. It's where you let Buffy park it. Also, the community hall fire spread, and she burnt down the barn, too. That sounds about right for her, yeah. The doctor scratched his head and caught Martha's throat one-handed. I'm pretty good with one of these, you know, he mentioned, tossing it off to Tim. I heard something like that. Martha sauntered up to him, and they hugged. Good to see you. He patted her back. Same to you. She stepped away. Thank you. Not a problem, replied Martha. The family? Not going to bother anyone else ever again. Buffy emerged in clothes borrowed from the wardrobe. Martha looked her friend up and down. Rosy cheeks, swollen lips, bit of an effervescent glow about her. Then she gave the doctor a once-over. Brown pinstripes, blue shirt, and just a hint of pink lipstick behind his ear. Oi, you two? Already? Really? Buffy was winning the blushing contest, but only just. Martha, started the doctor, but Martha held up her hands. Not in front of Tim. You two have corrupted him enough already. Tim had wandered over between Martha and the doctor. She says she's going to rap your knuckles. Buffy and the doctor looked at each other. You've both earned it. Martha scowled. You deserve each other, and I don't know how I'm going to survive with two of you bouncing around in there. She looked down at Tim. The universe is doomed. Buffy swallowed. Martha. Martha pulled her into a hug. Seriously, it's fine. It's better, even. I'm happy. She released Buffy and pulled her purse out. I'm handing our wages over to Tim. He carried your bag over from the school, and those boots of yours are heavy. Oh, thanks, Tim. I never could figure out what the heck a sovereign was anyway, said Buffy. The doctor nodded. Quite right, then. Martha handed over her purse, and the doctor pulled the watch from one of his pockets, extending it to Tim. You should take this, too. Tim eyed it. Should I? Yep, just a watch now. But it's fine Gallifreyan craftsmanship. Keeps perfect time. He and Tim shared a significant look. Then the boy took the gift. Thank you, Doctor. And you too, Martha, for everything. He turned to Buffy last, but she was already chuckling. I know. Thanks for keeping me safe by being really scary and kind of weird. A smattering of pink appeared on Tim's cheeks. Yeah, that's about right. Thank you for showing me how to fight. Buffy patted his shoulder. It's not the fighting. It's the surviving that's the trick. Actually, it's rule 1. Don't die. So, yeah, just remember that rule.
she finished, turning into the TARDIS.
"That's an order," added the doctor, grabbing the bags before heading in.
"And stay clear of the headmaster for the next few days," said Martha with a twinkle in her eyes. She turned back and winked at him. "You'll like this bit."
When she shut the door, Tim was still standing there, smiling. Martha leaned her head against the doors until she heard the TARDIS finish its dematerialization sequence.
"So, where are we headed?"
"Home sweet home," announced the doctor, zooming about. "Well, for you anyway."
Buffy was holding on to the handrail for dear life. Martha smirked at her. "Novice. She'll get used to it."
"Is it always like this?" she hissed.
"Yep," the doctor and Martha replied in unison. "Time travel tends to be just a little bit rougher. Remember that time we landed in the swamp?" recalled Martha.
The doctor grinned.
"Which one?"
Buffy was starting to earn her vortex legs and relaxed just in time to fall off the bench as the TARDIS came to a sudden halt.
Martha grinned.
"So, London, 2007?
The doctor nodded.
"That's right. Your kind of town and your kind of time. Buffy's kind of time, too, if I'm not mistaken. Or roughly about there at the very least in an alternate dimension sort of way." He was kneeling just a few steps away from Buffy, who took the chance to turn her head and check out his crouching profile.
"Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. I mean, not really running away from here quite yet, but it would be nice to at least know how to get home, or maybe leave a note." Willow's family was apparently really big with the note leaving.
"All in good time, Buffy. We've only just landed."
The doctor rose, grabbed his coat off the ground, dusted it off, and pulled it on.
"Martha, have you got my sonic screwdriver?"
Martha produced it, and it was tucked into its proper pocket.
"All is right with the world."
Martha smiled at him.
"That's right.
And we've already got a mystery to figure out. Come on, Buffy, this is the fun part."
He and Martha were already outside when Buffy got to her feet and headed towards the door.
The doctor called back. "Not the best weather for it, but with any luck we'll figure out how the dimensional modulation works."
Buffy reached the doors and looked out. It was dark and foggy, but she followed the doctor's light.
"Hurry up, Buffy. I can't even see you."
"Oh, this is so Scooby-Doo," laughed Martha.
As she got closer, she could start to make out a building. After a few more steps, she froze. Buffy knew this mansion. Wester Drumlin's.
Damn it!
Procrastination was bad, yes, but repeating Plan A was worse. Her eyes raced around. One pair of stony wings in the garden, another pair of petrified eyes in the bay window, one playing gargoyle on the outside of the spire. That made three, which left one weeping angel she couldn't see. The once reassuring white glow ahead of her disappeared without a sound.
Oh, shit!
The end.
Author's note. Once again, major compliments to Booster, without whom the story would not have been nearly as good, and might have completely stalled out when I couldn't figure out Chapter 12. Also, my sincerest thanks to all of my reviewers, especially those of you who've been urging me along every step of the way, not to mention the people who just popped in once or twice and reassured me that more than 10 people were reading this fic. I'd have still written it for those 10, but it's nice to know that there's more out there. Oh, and speaking of Booster, he made a point of telling me how lovely and lyrical my chapter titles were. The thing is, Isaac Brock is a much better lyricist than I am. All of the chapter titles are lyrics from the Modest Mouse album, The Moon and Antarctic, which in addition to being half of the soundtrack to writing this story, along with The Best of Talking Heads, is also a really good metaphor for Buffy and the Doctor. They're two very different, very harsh, very lonely, beautiful and distant places. Well, it worked for me anyway. Thanks again, and that's all, folks.
Reader's note. The sequel to this audio fic is called Sitting, Waiting, Wishing, also by Morag McPherson, also recorded by me. Don't forget to listen to that next. Have a nice day.